Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Buenos dias. Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show, where you never know what kind of conversation you might hear. Could be yours, too, if you call me. The number is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. I guess I've got some good news after fashion. You may remember a few weeks ago I shared with you the news that Walgreens and CVS and a number of other, those were the two biggest of the chains of pharmacies, were going to start selling contraceptive abortion pills, not contraceptive, but abortion pills rather, at their stores. Well, good news is that Walgreens has announced that it's not going to dispense abortion pills at any of its 242 locations in Ohio. And this is on a state-by-state basis. So this being reported by NBC4i.com local news, and I guess it's in Columbus, the decision comes about a month after Dave Yost of Ohio and 19 other Republican attorneys general, they cautioned Walgreens and CVS against their plan to sell abortion medication through the mail, a move backed by President Biden that the attorneys general argued would run afoul of state and federal law. They said part of their message is, it is our responsibility as state attorneys general to uphold the law and protect the health, safety, and well-being of women and unborn children in our states. This is in the letter that they sent to Walgreens. Part of that responsibility includes ensuring that companies like yours are fully informed of the law. In early January, Walgreens and CVS announced their intent to dispense the abortion pill mifepristone to align with Food and Drug Administration guidelines that expand the drug's access by giving brick-and-mortar pharmacies the power to sell the drug in stores and ship it via the mail, so long as they get certified. The Biden administration's guidance is moot in Ohio. Not mute. You ever hear somebody say, that's a mute point? It's not a mute point. That means that you can't speak. It's a moot point. M-O-O-T spells moot. M-O-O-N spells moon. But I digress.
I love it.
The administration, I'm taking a stand here. You know, don't give me any hassle. The administration's guidance is moot in Ohio, as a 2004 state law prohibits non-physicians, including pharmacists, from dispensing abortion medication. Abortion seekers in Ohio, regardless of whether pharmacies like Walgreens agree to sell this drug, must meet with a physician in person 24 hours before obtaining the pill, which cannot be mailed under the state law. We are not dispensing mifepristone at this time, Walgreens Senior Director of External Relations, Fraser Engerman, he told NBC News. He says, we intend to become a certified pharmacy under the program. However, we will only dispense in those jurisdictions where it is legal to do if we are certified. So long story short, it's not going to happen in Ohio. And it seems as though there are other states that, if not already are in this situation with Walgreens, soon will be. But they are going to, the way I'm reading this, they're going to happily, cheerfully sell these abortion pills in all the states that allow them to do so. So if you had been planning to boycott Walgreens or any of the other CVS as another example, just be aware of that. I don't think they're doing this out of the goodness of their heart. They're doing this because the law says if you do it here, you're going to have legal headaches. So they're pulling back and they're not going to sell them in those states like Ohio. And if this changes and as it changes, I'll be sure to let you know about that. Of a little factoid here, of the 20,000 abortions obtained in Ohio in 2020 and 2021, nearly 50% were aborted. 50% of these children who were aborted by the use of this drug. A notable uptick since the drug's use in only about 4% of abortions back in 2015. This according to the Department of Health for the state of Ohio. So 10,000 abortions because of this pill, you can see the terrible damage that it does. Now, Cyrus will be kind enough to post this article so you can read it for yourself, share it around if you want. It's called Why Walgreens Won't Dispense Abortion Pills in Ohio. And when we say that we're going to post it, what we mean by that is we'll post it on the show page, relevantradio.com/Patrick. Have that bookmarked. That way you can access it with a snap of the fingers. 888-914-9149.
Hey, Patrick. I have a nice email here that I thought would
make you smile. Like nice emails.
Yeah, this is from Tanya. She's listening on the app. And she says, thank you for your immense knowledge. I have learned and continue to learn about my faith from your show. But she has a question. My question is, do we know what choir of angels Lucifer came from? Thanks, Tanya. Oh.
All right. Yeah, thank you, Tanya. And we don't know where Tanya is in the country. We just know she's listening on the app.
That is correct, sir.
Okay. Well, thank you, Tanya. I think we do know in the sense that he was the best and the brightest, it seems. So we assume that he was from the highest of the angelic choirs, the seraphim. And that would make sense, too, because as the angelologists would posit, just as there is a hierarchy of good angels, and the highest of the hierarchies would be the seraphim. The same, it seems, is true when it comes to the bad angels, and that there is a pecking order among them as well. And so they have, you know, with Lucifer at the top, they would have the corresponding kind of, I don't want to say pecking order in the sense of animals, but they have a hierarchy or a lowerarchy, as Peter Kreeft would say. And just to kind of go through them, we have at the very highest the seraphim, below them the cherubim, then thrones, below them would be dominations, then virtues, then powers, and below them would be principalities, and the lowest two would be archangels and angels. So these three sets of three comprise the nine different choirs of angels. And this is based upon what we see in Scripture, and there have been other important works on this, kind of elucidating what we see in Scripture by St. Thomas Aquinas, by Pseudo Dionysius, who is not the original Dionysius the Areopagite, but somebody who wrote in that style, an anonymous author. I think he was in the 3rd century, if I'm not mistaken, and others who have written on the topic. Fascinating topic, to be sure. Well, that's a nice email, Cyrus. You got any more of those? Because I've got plenty of emails to get to.
My stack of emails is nothing. I've seen the stack of emails on your desk. Mine's nothing compared to yours, but it is getting pretty thick here. So,
why don't we do a couple more?
All right, here. I got another one right here. Good morning, Cyrus and Patrick. I was having a conversation with an acquaintance about the battle of angels before the fall of man. Mm-hmm. How did the angels engage in battle if they are spirits? Were there physical weapons? How were the angels being led by Lucifer detained until they were cast down to earth? Can you shed any light on the subject for me? Thanks, Patrick. I truly appreciate your program, and I am grateful for the opportunity to listen to you daily. God bless you, Andy. And let's see, Andy is, I don't know where Andy's calling from, but or writing from, but he listens to the app.
Okay. Yeah, well, thank you, Andy. I appreciate that. No, they would not have been physical weapons because angels are pure spirits, so they don't have bodies. They can take the form of a body when they appear to human beings by God's permission, but they don't have bodies as we do. Therefore, a physical object like that would be superfluous to an angel. And they're far more powerful than we are, certainly. And so if we need weapons to protect us from wild animals or bad people or so forth, the angels have no need of any of those things. What exactly their weapons are, I don't know. And I don't think anybody knows. They are vast and very powerful intellectual beings. So whatever way in which they had a war has not been revealed to us. And it might be because we wouldn't even understand it. We wouldn't even understand. I mean, try to imagine explaining to a one-year-old how television works. How is it that in some building somewhere on the other side of the country, with machines that create images, and then those images go through the air, in the case of old-fashioned TV, you know, the UHF and VHF TV signals, you'd have the aerial up on your roof to catch the signal, and then it's reassembled perfectly on your television screen. How does that work? I mean, I don't know exactly how that works. I know I could figure it out, or I could read a Wikipedia page if I had to. But imagine just trying to explain the concept of that to a little child. It'd be impossible. And you could use all the words, and you could be technically correct and accurate, and that little child would have no clue what you're talking about. I think that's the way it would be if the angels were to tell us, or if God were to reveal to us, what exactly was this battle? How was it fought? What were the weapons, if any? And not physical weapons, obviously. I don't think we could comprehend it. So that's about as much as I can say on that topic.
That's interesting. He didn't ask this, but it makes me wonder. There's all these depictions of angels with wings. Mm-hmm. Would that just be the artist's interpretation, or a way to represent them being otherworldly beings, or did they have wings?
Yeah, that's an important question, because we always see them depicted for us that way. And so I was just actually a few days ago, I was reading The Celestial Hierarchies. It's a book by Pseudo Dionysius, the one I mentioned a little while ago. And he has a section on that where he says we would be foolish if we thought that the way the angels are described to us in the Bible, if that's how they really were, that as if they had wings and many faces and many eyes and things of that nature. So he actually talks about this, and he says that those are biblical ways of presenting the angels to us in ways that we can understand. Like these big wheels of fire in the sky is another Old Testament depiction of that. And so I think that's a reasonable approach to it, and that is that, no, they don't have wings. You know, they don't have actual wings because they don't need to fly anywhere. They don't take up space. They don't have bodies. So wings on an angel, as they're often depicted, to my mind, is a way for us as human beings to understand that they can move gracefully and effortlessly from place to place. We can't. We have to walk or climb. We have to move our bodies in a more cumbersome manner than the angels do. They have complete subtlety of motion. And I think the wings are a way to convey that to us. But no, they don't have those things. And I imagine when we see them as they really are, as we'll see God as he really is when we get to heaven, well, our minds are going to be blown. Like, oh my gosh, this is way better than what I thought an angel was. And this is so much more beautiful and powerful. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to seeing that. I'm willing to wait, quite frankly. I'm willing to wait a while. You know, 20, 30 years, if the health holds up, maybe a little longer perhaps. But in due time, I look forward to seeing the angels as they are. Hebrews 13 says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." And I'm sure everybody has got a guardian angel story where they can say, "My guardian angel showed up and helped me with something." That's very possible. Very possible. Cyrus, you know the song Zippity Doodah, right? From Song of the South, the movie from the Disney Corporation, I believe it is.
Zippity Doodah, zippity. Yeah, everybody knows that song.
Yeah, we all grew up with it. It is from a movie, and that song, yeah.
My, oh my, what a wonderful day.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of sunshine in my way.
I'm just listening to it.
Zippity doodah, zippity yay. Mr. Bluebird,
yeah. Okay, so that song, just want to make sure everybody knows what it is. It is from the movie The Song of the South. It came out in 1946, and it was not controversial then. It is very controversial now because of its depiction of slavery. One of the objections, as I understand it, is, and I don't remember if that was Uncle Remus. I think it might have been Uncle Remus, the character, you know, that he was happy and he was, you know, singing. And one of the objections, and understandably so, is that if you're portraying slavery as if it was just a walk in the park and everybody was happy and whistling and singing and things like that, I can understand why people would object to that. And times were different in 1946. So the reason I bring this up, Cyrus, LA Times has an article, and if you can post that as well. This song, Zippity Doodah, is being removed from the Disneyland parade. Now, it's just a small thing, a little sign of the times. And if you were to go to Disneyland, if you've ever been to Disneyland, you know that for certain things, they roll out songs and characters from the movies, Snow White, etc. So this, it's called the Magic Happens Parade. It's twice daily, and it took a hiatus during the pandemic. And remember that pandemic, Cyrus? Remember a couple of years ago when we all had to wear masks and there was a time when we couldn't go to church? Do you remember that? It's long ago, or so it seems.
Yeah, it's still a sore spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, you remember. It's hard to forget. So Disney Chairman Bob Iger told shareholders in 2020, says, the Song of the South, the movie that is not appropriate in today's world. It employed racist tropes and painted a rosy picture of race relations in the pre-Civil War South. The movie was based on a series of short stories by Joel Chandler Harris, centered on Uncle Remus, a black man in the Reconstruction era who spoke of a long time ago when everything was mighty satisfactual, presumably speaking of the days before the Civil War and the freeing of the slaves. He says, if you'll excuse me for saying so, 'twas better all around. Now, I mean, I never thought about that. I never even really heard that. It never occurred to me all the millions of times that I heard that song from the time that I was a kid.
Not once. Me neither. Yeah, just not one time.
It went right by me. Right by me. And but now, in the present day, with all of our modern sensitivities, and I don't mean that necessarily in a negative sense, but people now are sensitive to things that they were not sensitive to before. And so this is one example of a vestige of a bygone era that you're not going to see anymore. And I thought you'd want to know about that because it's one of those things that people grew up with these stories, and you're probably not going to find that in the bookstore anymore. You certainly won't be able to see the movie.
Is this one of those merited times where this is, yeah, okay, get rid of it. It's fine. It had its, it's not appropriate anymore, or if it ever was, right? But then there's other cartoon characters or songs that have been removed that people have a serious problem with, but then the other people don't. So I'm thinking of Speedy Gonzales.
Like
He's been removed. You can't find Speedy Gonzales anywhere.
Because they call that racist.
Because it's racist. But my Mexican friends think it's hilarious.
I am 50% Mexican. So my father's side, 100% Hispanic, 100% Mexican. And yeah, there, with the last name Madrid, there is some Spanish in there somewhere, but it was filtered through Mexico over many generations. So his whole family comes from Mexico. And some had settled on the it would have been on the way southern border with New Mexico. Some of the family settled there. Some of the family had settled later on in the El Paso area. But the reason I say this is just to say, nobody in my family, in any way, has ever thought Speedy Gonzales was anything but funny. It's not offensive. It's not racist. Now, we had some guy angry about the taco song that we play.
Yeah.
You remember that guy? And he was angry. That's racist. And and I tried to explain to him, well, sir, those are Mexican people in the video singing the song glorifying tacos. There's nothing racist about that. How can that be racist? And I don't think it got through to him. But there's some real different sensibilities now than there used to be. Not all of which I think is a bad thing, you know? I had never thought about the Song of the South, Zippity Doodah. It never occurred to me that when he's talking about how things were better before the Civil War, obviously, you know, in terms of slavery, that's false. So I can see that point. Hey, I have an email that just literally came in. It has to do with you, Cyrus.
Oh,
and I'll read this, then we'll take a break. So this will be, you can enjoy this. This is from, who is this from? This is from Jordan. And Jordan's listening in Minneapolis. And actually, Jordan just sent this email 2 minutes ago. And the subject is, Cyrus, a suggestion. And I bet this is how he wanted you to read it. Cyrus, I have an idea. You have a sound clip that's something along the lines of, you're doing great, Pat, only 1 hour left. If possible, don't let Pat hear about this. If possible, it would be really funny to prank Patrick by making a version that says, you're doing great, Pat, only 12 hours left. He says, I don't expect a reply, just consider it. Imagine the beauty of it.
He doesn't expect to reply, and he didn't expect you to read it on the
air. No, he didn't.
Either.
He didn't expect me to see it. So he says, consider it. Imagine the beauty of it. Imagine the possibilities. Keep on being, keep on keeping on as the best radio producer ever. Yours in Christ, Jordan.
There is some solid proof that the emails go to you.
Oh, yeah.
Right there. That is,
I see them.
This is, they are not filtered through me. People have found me.
Sometimes they go to you.
I don't know why. I really don't know.
Yeah, sometimes you do get emails that I haven't seen, but most of the time I see them.
Yeah, definitely. 99% of the time.
So there's the prank. Think about it, Cyrus. Imagine the possibilities. And we'll take a break. And we'll be back with who knows what right after this. Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com. This hour is sponsored by Christendom College. Send your child to Christendom College's high school summer program, the best week ever. Get 50% off by using the promo code RELEVANTRADIO. Spots fill up very quickly, so apply today at thebestweekever.com.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.
Welcome back. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Marisol in Albuquerque. Hello, Marisol.
Hi, Patrick. Hi, Cyrus.
Hi there. How old are you?
7.
Wonderful. Well, I can't wait to hear what your question is, Marisol.
I have something to tell you first. Someday when you come to Albuquerque, maybe you can have tacos with me, my dad, and my brother.
I would love that. Oh, that would be great. Do you have a favorite taco place there? Do you have
my
a favorite restaurant?
huh?
It's okay. I just wondered if you had a favorite place to get tacos, but that's okay. We can worry about that another time. So what was your question?
My question is, if you're a girl and then you have that surgery where you turn into a boy, can you still be a priest?
No, you can't. And I'm sure your dad has told you about this, but girls can't turn into boys and boys can't turn into girls. Some people think that that's true, but it's not true. Let's say that you had on the table in front of you an apple and a banana. Okay. Can you picture that in your mind?
Yes.
Okay. So what if I told you that an apple can change into a banana or a banana can change into an apple? Would you believe that?
No,
because it's silly, right? It's not real. It can't work, can it?
No.
Okay. So for that same kind of reason, boys can't change into girls, and girls can't change into boys. So I'm sorry that at 7 years old you even have to know about this, but, you know, it's the world we live in. You sound like a really smart girl. So just be aware that if somebody changes their hair or their body, even like if they had an operation like you're talking about, it doesn't change them into, if it's a girl, getting an operation doesn't change her into a boy. And if a boy had an operation, doesn't change him into a girl. So it's important that you know that, okay? So for that reason, because the church, Jesus himself, he ordained men to the priesthood. He didn't ordain women. He didn't even ordain his own mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the greatest of all human people. He didn't choose her for the priesthood. So even if a girl were to have that kind of surgery, no, she could not become a priest because she's still a girl. What do you think? You still there, Mighty Soul? I can hear you thinking.
Okay.
Huh? All right. I said, I can hear you thinking about this issue. Did you have any more questions about that?
No.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, I really appreciate your dad letting you call me. When we hang up, I want you to keep listening to the radio because Cyrus is going to play something about this issue, about like bananas and apples and things like that, okay? It'll help you think about it even more, okay? So keep listening when we hang up, okay?
And I was just wondering that because, like, last year in 2022, I asked, why can't women be priests?
Mm-hmm. Did you get an answer to that question? Or did you call me or did you ask your dad?
I called you.
Okay. Do you remember what my answer was?
I called your friend because you were out of town.
Oh, okay. Father's Maybe I was looking for tacos someplace on that day. Well, did he give you a good answer?
Yes.
Good. Okay. I'm glad. Are you on your way to school?
Yes.
I thought so. And you must be in first grade, I'm guessing, right?
No.
What grade?
Second.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not too many seven-year-olds in second grade. But that's good.
I'm only a seven-year-old because my birthday is May 10th.
Oh, I get it. Okay. Do you like school? Are you enjoying the classes?
Yes.
Good. Tell all your friends about Relevant Radio, and maybe they'll start listening on the way to school, too.
And maybe they might ask you a question.
I would like that if they did. Tell them to call me if their parents say it's okay. You sound like a very smart girl, Mighty Soul. I'm really glad you called me again.
Don't worry, okay. This is the third time.
Yeah? I can't wait for the fourth time. And the fifth time. And the sixth time. Who knows how old you'll be by then. So we're gonna say goodbye now. I hope you'll keep listening because Cyrus is gonna play something just for you. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, Cyrus, roll it.
This is an apple. Some people might try to tell you that it's a banana. They might scream banana, banana, banana over and over and over again. They might put banana in all caps. You might even start to believe that this is a banana. But it's not. This is an apple.
Case closed.
What a gift. I say this every time, but I mean, CNN, the brainiacs who came up with that commercial, and it is a good commercial, they did not realize the gift they were handing to people who recognize the transgender ideology for what it really is when they did that. It's so simple, even a child can understand it. It's just so good. Now, as long as we're at it, so that was this is a banana. You can put it all in caps. You can say it as loud as you want. You can say it over and over again. But it doesn't mean it's a banana. It's an apple. Okay, everybody gets that. Now, Cyrus, why don't you play the version of that you did, that we did, because I guess I was involved in that, talking about an unborn baby. Let's play that one now.
This is a baby. Some people might try to tell you that it's a clump of cells. They might scream, clump of cells, clump of cells, clump of cells, over and over and over again. They might put clump of cells in all caps. You might even start to believe that this is a clump of cells, but it's not. This is a baby.
I feel really good about that little project that we did. What was that, about 3-4 years ago when we did
that? Yeah, I love it. I'm proud of that particular piece.
Me too. And of course, it's just based upon what the CNN people did. So, hey, how about this, parents? Cyrus is going to post both of those. The one is the CNN one, and the other one is why are you laughing?
I just found another one that we did.
We did another one?
We did do another one. So,
I've forgotten about it. What is it?
This is a man. I'm going to get in trouble for this, but can I play it?
Right. Okay, go for
it. All right, here I go. It's nice knowing y'all.
I'll stick up for you at your at your show trial.
Thank you. All right, listen to this.
This is a man.
Yeah.
Some people might want to tell you it's a woman.
Yeah.
They might scream, woman, 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 over and over and over again.
Yeah.
They might put woman in all caps.
Yeah.
You might even start to believe this is a woman.
What are you, ignorant?
But it's not.
Yeah.
This is a man.
It ain't cool being no jive turkey.
When did we do that? I don't remember that.
A long time ago. We just sat there gathering dust. Oh, it makes me smile.
Oh, man. Well, you know what's good about those is it's simple. And
you can count on me for giving simple you simple things. Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I forgot. I honestly did forget about that one. So what I was going to say a second ago is, parents, if you're wondering how can you kind of help educate your children so that when they get to school, like little Marisol, she's in second grade and she already knows about this stuff. It's too bad. Play that video for them. The CNN one. This is a banana or this is an apple. Play that for them and they'll get it because it will click in their minds. And just tell them this, the same exact thing. This is a man. This is a woman. And it doesn't matter how many times people shout it as loud as they can or they, you know, put it all in caps and they keep saying it, keep repeating it, doesn't mean it's true. So the apple banana analogy is a great way to train your little kids, you know, without even having to tell them about the other issues till it's age appropriate for them. So that's a useful tool in a parental toolbox, if you ask me. Thank you, Cyrus. I forgot all about that one. 888-914-9149. Let's go quickly to Camilla now in North Hollywood, California. Am I saying your name correctly? Is it Camilla?
Yes.
Okay, welcome, Camilla. How old are you?
9.
Wonderful. I remember being 9 years old. It was a lot of fun. So tell me what your question is.
When we die, how will heaven be like, and will I be with all my family?
That's such a great question. Well, heaven is going to be, from what the Bible tells us and what Jesus tells us in the Bible, that heaven is going to be so wonderful that we can't even imagine it now. We don't even have words in our language to describe how wonderful heaven will be. But we know that the things that we don't like in this life, like being cold or being hot or being tired or being sick or getting hurt, we'll never have anything like that in heaven. So in heaven, you'll always be happy. You'll never be hungry. You'll never be tired. You'll never get sick. It'll never be nighttime. It'll always be bright and beautiful. Imagine like a beautiful sunny day. You know how nice that is when the sun is shining and the air is clear and everything looks beautiful. It'll be way more beautiful than that. And you'll see God face to face. Right now, we can only try to imagine what God is like, but you'll see him in heaven. You'll see him. You'll be able to be right there with him and talk to him and love him. And he'll talk to you. And yes, you'll see your family, all of the people who are in heaven. You'll see them all, and you'll see the angels, and you'll be able to fly, and you'll know things that are far beyond what you can know in this life, and you'll be very, very happy. You'll be perfectly happy forever. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
It's really exciting when you think about it. And Jesus said, he said to his apostles, he says, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. So he's making things ready for all the people who love him, just like you and your family, so that long time in the future, let's hope, when it's your time to die and go to heaven, Jesus will have prepared a special place just for you in heaven.
Okay. Can I ask another question?
Sure. Anything for you, Camilla.
Did Simon of Cyrene go to heaven because he helped Jesus carry his cross?
I think he probably did. The Bible doesn't tell us that, but I'm pretty sure he probably did, because he helped Jesus, number one. Now, he didn't want to help Jesus at first. The soldiers dragged him out of the crowd, and they forced him. They made him carry the cross to help Jesus. But I'm imagining that he saw Jesus, he looked at Jesus, Jesus looked at him. He helped Jesus carry his cross. Some of Jesus' blood, because you remember Jesus had the crown of thorns on his head, and he had been whipped before that. So even some of Jesus' blood got onto Simon of Cyrene. And I can't imagine that that did not change him and make him love Jesus, you know? And so I'm pretty sure that we'll see that we will see Simon of Cyrene in heaven. Won't that be amazing?
Yes.
Are you on your way to school?
Yeah, almost, sorry.
Almost. Almost time to get in the car, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Camilla, you know how the Hollywood sign is up on the hill, not far from where you are? On the other side of that hill, where the Hollywood sign is, the other side of that hill is where they filmed The Waltons, a TV show. You can ask your mom and dad about that. Thanks for the call. I'll be right back.
Connected to the conversation. Call now, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now. Relevant Radio.
Have a note from Marie listening on the Relevant Radio app about the Methodists who are leaving the Southern Methodist Conference or the whatever it is. I talked about it yesterday. I'm sorry I don't have the name in front of me. She says, regarding the United Methodist Church falling apart, did you invite those leaving to join us in the Catholic Church? It's a good time to welcome them directly. Well, I guess I didn't. So duly noted, Marie. So attention. Is this on? Okay. Attention. Attention. Everybody leaving the United Methodist Church, just want you to know you are warmly and sincerely encouraged to join the Catholic Church. I welcome you. So there it is. So there's the official welcome. It would be great if they all joined the Catholic Church. And for those who are listening, the door is open. Come on in. Come on in. The water's terrible. 888-914-9149. Thanks for that note, Marie. I appreciate it. Let's go now to Patty in Chino, California. Good morning, Patty.
Hi, good morning. To follow up on the question about heaven, I got into a discussion yesterday with a friend. And she said that everyone's in heaven right now. And I vaguely remember during a homily that Father had mentioned that the only people in heaven were Jesus and Mary. So I'm confused.
Okay. Well, there are some people in hell. We know that. There are people in heaven. And so I think maybe what you might have heard, or maybe what he was saying that maybe didn't come across quite so clearly, is that we only know of two people who have bodies in heaven, the Lord's glorified body and Our Lady's bodily assumption means that she's in heaven bodily as well. Is that what you think he might have meant?
No, because I know that difference.
Okay.
But he went on to say that... I mean, this was years back, but he went on to say that no one is ready to be in heaven to be as pure as Jesus and Mary. So when Jesus comes back to us, it'll be heaven on earth, and then everyone will be in heaven. And I was
Were you talking by chance to a Jehovah's Witness? Because that sounds like what they
believe. No, Right. No, this was a priest during his homily.
Oh, I see. You told me that. That's right. Okay, you told me that. Mm-hmm. Well, I must respectfully disagree with the good reverend, because we know that there are countless people in heaven. In fact, Revelation chapter 6 talks about the martyrs who are in heaven beneath the altar in the heavenly sanctuary. And they're actually complaining after a fashion to the Lord. Lord, when are you going to avenge our deaths? When are you going to punish the evildoers who put us to death? So not only are they in heaven, but they are aware of things that are going on earth. So no, there's no question but that there are people in heaven right now. It's not just Mary and Jesus.
And Jesus. Okay, great. Okay, well, thanks for clearing that up.
Happy to do so. Thank you, Patty. Appreciate that. Let's see. Let's go now to, where did he go? He was just here a second. There he is. Okay, Michael in Milwaukee. Welcome to the program.
Oh, good morning, Patrick. Patrick, before, when you were talking about the various choirs of angels, I'm kind of wondering, which choir does our guardian angel fit into? Would he be like the lower one, just an ordinary angel? I hate to put it that way, but
I know what you
is
mean.
That the right category?
Yeah, you're right about that. So the way the Bible tells us about the choirs of angels, the seraphim are at the very highest point, and the angels are at the lowest point. And that doesn't mean anything demeaning about them at all. They're still incredibly powerful, vastly more powerful than we human beings are. And so even the lowest of the angels is higher in the created order than human beings are. But yes, the tradition is that our guardian angels are taken from the lowest order of angels.
Okay. Does that mean that St. Michael is kind of like at the bottom of the hierarchy, second lowest, or am I putting too much into what you're saying?
Well, not so that you're putting too much into it, but if we go by what the Bible says, Michael, in terms of like what it says about the angels and it gives the names and things, the archangels are at the lowest, second to lowest level. At the highest, you'd have the seraphim and the cherubim. And if you want, just trying to think here. We talked, I think, about Audible, right, when you and I spoke a few weeks ago, and books, audiobooks. We talked about that, I think.
Right, right.
Okay. I think if you check with Audible, there may be a book on, the book is called Angels and Devils by, is it right? Yeah, Angels and Devils by Joan Carol Cruz. That might be available on Audible. I haven't checked it, but it might be. And if it is, there's a whole lot in that book that talks about these different choirs of angels. So check that out. That's interesting. I'm going to have to check that out myself. That'd be good for a long drive. Hey, Michael, great talking to you again. Thank you. We'll go now to Paulette in Stevenson, Michigan. Good morning, Paulette.
Good morning. I was in a Lutheran church recently, and I saw a red candle in the front of the church up by the altar lit, like we have our candle up by the tabernacle. Mm-hmm. It looked just like that. And I was confused because they don't have consecrated Holy Eucharist, so I'm just befuddled.
I think I know the answer to the question. That is that in some Lutheran churches, some Lutheran synods, they do believe that their communion service involves not exactly transubstantiation, but they would refer to it as consubstantiation. Sometimes it's known as impanation. And what that means is, and we don't accept that as valid, as you say, but what they believe is that at that point in their service, that the bread and the wine remain there, but now alongside or with the bread and the wine is the presence of Jesus. So it's similar to the Catholic teaching, but it's significantly different. And so I think that, and I have been in a few Lutheran churches here and there over the years, and I've noticed that the High Church Lutheran synods, they have interiors that look almost indistinguishable from a Catholic church. You really can't tell the difference. Maybe you don't see an image of Our Lady. That would be a tip-off. But very often, they're just very difficult to distinguish from a Catholic church. So I think that's what it is, that they believe in that church that their Eucharist, if they have a tabernacle even, that that really is the body of Jesus. So,
right, because I've gotten in conversations with them, and they're like, no, we're receiving Jesus. And I'm like, how can you be receiving Jesus if your pastor doesn't have his hands consecrated by the bishop and they broke away from the Catholic Church?
Yeah, that's a valid point that you're making, and it's true, because without valid holy orders, and the holy orders is the sacrament that is necessary for a priest to be able to consecrate the bread and the wine, and Lutheran pastors don't have valid holy orders. So you're right about that, but it's just to clarify, it's not the consecration of the hands that does it, it's the ordination that does it, and that's with the imposition of the bishop's hands on the head of the man being ordained. Now, his hands are consecrated for that purpose, that's true, but it's the reception of holy orders itself that would enable that man to be able to validly celebrate the Holy Eucharist. So all of the things being equal, as you say, Paulette, even though they believe that they have the valid Eucharist, in fact, they don't, which is one more reason for them to become Catholic. Because if they love Jesus, obviously, they want to receive him, clearly. So right. We should, you know, help them see that they can have all of that and much more when they become Catholic.
So what do you mean when you say they consecrate the bread?
Yeah, so in some Lutheran, now keep in mind that, right.
Yeah.
Keep in mind that, okay, so keep in mind that there isn't like one Lutheran church. They have what are known as synods, and the synods essentially are like denominations within a denomination. If we think of Lutheranism as a denomination, it's really more varied than that, and not everybody agrees with each other on what exactly they believe. So the more evangelical Lutheran churches do not have those kinds of services, or at least they don't have them with vestments and candles and the liturgical rubrics that you would see in those high church Lutheran churches. The evangelical Lutherans wouldn't do those things because they don't believe in those things. So this would be a division that you'd see within the Lutheran church on things like that. And some are more. I remember one time, Paulette, I pulled up at an ARCO station in Southern California. I was going to gas up my car, and there was a Catholic priest standing on the other side of the gas pump, gassing up his car. So I got out of my vehicle, and I said, oh, hello, Father, how are you today? And he says, I'm not a priest. And I said, well, you're dressed like one. And he says, I'm a Lutheran minister. And I said, oh. I mean, I was polite, I was friendly, but I mean, he looked like he was Father McGillicuddy. He had the Roman collar, and he had, you know, the black shirt and the black pants, etc. So, I mean, he looked like a Catholic priest. So that's an example from my own experience where some Lutherans, they do very much emulate Catholic things. And I suppose that's at least it brings them closer in our direction. For what it's worth, Paulette, I have to take a break in a second, but you might enjoy this book. It's called There We Stood, Here We Stand, edited by Tim Drake, and it's a collection of conversion testimonies by former Lutheran ministers who wound up becoming Catholic. If you have any interest in more of these details, that book would be fascinating for you, because each in their own way describes what it was that brought them into the Catholic Church. And in some cases, some of those similarities made it easier for them because they realized that they already did believe some Catholic things, and they were able to build on that and come all the way in to the Catholic Church. It's called There We Stood, Here We Stand. Well, I have to take a break. So thanks for the call, Paulette, by the way. I'm going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and I have more of your phone calls, and I've got plenty of emails, and I think some more emails have even just come in the last few minutes. Cyrus, Amy in Iowa wants to know if you'll play the clip, When Is a Baby a Baby? Remember that one? Only after exiting the birth canal, the magical birth canal. Remember that one? And she says, I can't find it online. Can you play it? I would like my kids to hear it. So there's your homework assignment.
I'm on it.
From Amy in Iowa. Thanks, Amy. I'll be right back. We'll be right back right after this.